This is CliffCentral.com. 360 Biz on CliffCentral.com.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Cliff Central 360 Biz. My name is Tsego Kekana. I am rolling solo today. My brothers in arms are not with me. Tebogo is overseas and Bulelani is stuck in a business meeting. The life of entrepreneurs. But I've got special guests today. I'm excited about today. I have roped in a friend who is a co-host. Hi, TK.
Hello,
how are you?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, no, I threw him under the bus.
Circumstances.
No, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. How are you doing today?
No, I'm perfect. I'm perfect.
So my interim co-host today, his name is Thando Kwazi Qabashe. He's a Zulu man from KZN. I'm not going to say much about you because I really threw you under the bus, but we'll roll with the show. So just stick with me until we finish. Are you good though?
No, I'm super. Thank you so much for throwing me under the bus. I hope I perform as expected.
No, you will. So today we're talking Opportunity Wednesday. So we are talking about opportunities that have been presented for entrepreneurs out there. We are talking about opportunities that entrepreneurs are getting out there and grabbing for themselves. And our first guest today, they have started an opportunity that I feel is very strong and suited for entrepreneurs out there. Unfortunately, my brothers who would have benefited from this are not here, and I hope that they're listening. So entrepreneurs and innovators fuel economic growth. We rely on them to create new jobs, implement pioneering ideas, and attract global investment. Yet, this is a sector that has been largely overlooked and underserviced by traditional banking models. When working with entrepreneurs, accountants are hamstrung by long lead times in assessing crucial information and are often unable to provide the quick administrative turnaround that fast-moving businesses require. So having recognized this critical challenge, Standard Bank has launched a system, I guess, they'll correct me, called Edge, which is a unique banking proposition that leverages of all Standard Bank's universal financial services to deliver the solution in a disruptive manner. So this unique offer is for entrepreneurs. My guest today is Zimkita. Hi, Zimkita.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great.
I'm very good. Please just tell us a bit about you, who you are, and what do you do at Standard Bank?
Okay, so I look after the Edge proposition, which has been in development for the past 2 years.
So what is Edge?
Edge is a proposition. So it's a way for Standard Bank to look at how we improve the experience of entrepreneurs as they engage with the bank. But as we were developing it, we realized that accountants are quite key to the development and the success of entrepreneurs. So we've developed a solution that sort of makes the experience for accountants in terms of the information that they need, the seamless flow of information that they need from the bank, being able to flow directly to the accountants so that they can fulfill that role in terms of supporting their entrepreneurs.
So you talk about accountants. So let's say I'm you know, a tuck shop owner, and I literally do my books manually, you know, and I've got a book, hard copy book. How does that benefit me if I'm that type of entrepreneur?
So firstly, we realize that a lot of the entrepreneurs that we've spoken to have said that accountants play a very important role in their lives from a financial advice point of view and also from a compliance point of view. So we found that entrepreneurs are happy to leave the financial and compliance part to their respective accountants so that they can concentrate on running their tuck shops, as you say. So in terms of what we look for when we look for entrepreneurs that we can assist, our only qualifying criteria is that you must have an accountant. And if you don't have an accountant, we then refer an accountant from our panel of accountants that can perhaps assist you. We just find that it works out better that, you know, you've got the support that is required for you to take your business further so that you can concentrate on running, you know, the tuck shop. And then we would engage with that accountant as we then plan for how you succeed in future.
Okay, that is interesting. So Edge basically gives us, it's a proposition that helps businesses, entrepreneurs, specifically to accountants. So is it a tool?
So at the moment, it's a solution. Mm. So what you get when you come into the Edge family is that you get one person that you can contact for anything that is bank related, and that person is available to you 24/7, because one of the things that we found is that the bank is an intimidating place. Mm. Entrepreneurs don't know where to go. I mean, there's 50,000 employees in Standard Bank, and if you are, you know, an entrepreneur, you really don't know where to find the solution. So you get one person that can navigate, you know, we call ourselves the concierge into the bank, that can navigate the bank space for you. Then you also get packaging of loans. So when you do require funding, we're able to sit down with you, with your accountant, to package the loan so that it's credit ready, because we know what the bank is going to look for, so that there's no back and forth between now you and the bank in terms of what's required. We already know what's required. We then tailor make your application in terms of trying to fit what the bank is looking for. And in terms of the accountant, the accountant themselves, if they're not with Edge, like it's like a third party that doesn't have a direct relationship with the bank. So normally an accountant can't come to Standard Bank and say, I service this tuck shop and I want their information, because the bank is going to say, who are you? Okay. So we put in place a mandate that then allows Edge to share information with the accountants that are already vetted, that are on our panel, so that we eliminate the entrepreneur always going back and forth between the accountant and the bank. So we try and, you know, improve that seamless experience for both the accountant and for the entrepreneur. Then there's other things like our entrepreneurs get access to the lounge, which is quite a popular thing. We don't believe in giving forms, we pre-populate forms, so we're trying to get away from, you know, the filling in forms. I don't think anybody particularly enjoys.
Yeah. Not at all.
So that's essentially what you get. You get a seamless experience, a personalized experience into the bank, and access to information so that you can, you know, move your business forward.
Mm. So TK, without being biased, do you think that do you consider yourself as an entrepreneur, even if it's a side business?
Definitely. I mean, you have to, I believe you have to see yourself as one, to become one or to become greater at what you do. So in all the entrepreneurial adventures that one sort of dives into, yes, the idea is to ultimately grow it bigger so that it starts not only benefiting me, but the people around me as well, you know, creating employment opportunities and things like that, yeah.
And do you think that banks in general look after entrepreneurs, especially small-scale entrepreneurs?
I think banks do have a role to play, a big one at that, and it's about the entrepreneurs themselves standing up and going to their banks, because generally banks are looked at as that big brother who's always ready to punish you, you know. But if you, and I suppose with Edge coming onto the play, it starts to create a softer conversation with the bank, because now you are able to approach someone to then approach the bank on your behalf in terms of the more complex stuff that you need. But as a small-time entrepreneur, I think, yes, people just need to go to the banks and actually keep knocking, because that's what it's all about as an entrepreneur, that you keep knocking at doors that are even closed so that someone somewhere will listen to you. So, yeah, so it's a little bit of a two-edged sword. It's both the responsibility of the consumer going to the bank, and then the bank as well, the responsibility to actually listen to the concerns or the needs of that particular consumer, and making sure that they package whatever it is that the consumer is looking for at that time.
So, Zimkita, I'm an entrepreneur. And when I look at banks in general, I feel like they are too far-fetched for me. For the least I can get from a bank for my small business would be just a bank account, you know. So how comfortable would you make me in taking the services of Edge?
Yeah, so when we did, when we were talking to our entrepreneurs, because this solution was actually developed with the help of entrepreneurs. I'm talking even the look, the name and everything, the tagline was actually developed with the help of the entrepreneurs. And one of the things that they said, which was a shock to me, was that they feel that banks judge them. So that came out quite a lot, you know. And in our positioning, we're very deliberate to say we're actually on the side of the entrepreneur. What that practically means is that we would package whatever you require in terms of a loan. We'll sit down with you, do what's required to get it to credit. And if for whatever reason Standard Bank can't do the transaction, we actually take it to other banks. We've got the mandate to do that. And we had to do that to prove that we're not in it for Standard Bank. We're actually in it for the entrepreneur and the accountants themselves. So rest assured, whatever's required from our side to help you get to the next level of your journey, even if it means going to another bank, it's something that the team is very comfortable and has actually done before. Just to make sure that we move away from that whole judgment thing, because in actual fact, entrepreneurs are so critical to the growth of this economy. It baffles me that there would even be this perception that banks judge them, because banks need entrepreneurs to be successful at the end of the day.
And yet entrepreneurs don't know that.
That's why we exist.
Yes. Well. What led to? I mean, you said that in coming up with Edge, you had to research with entrepreneurs. You had to work with them to come up with a solution like Edge. But what led to some of the insights and the in formulating Edge?
So some of the insights, I think the bank realized that the traditional banking route is not working. I think you mentioned before that it's not serving entrepreneurs that the way that it should. And it was important that we actually got a blank canvas as a group when we started off. Blank as in we even had non-bankers helping us. Most of the team that developed this is actually entrepreneurs. So from the onset, as we were developing, there were things like, you know, most of the team must be people from outside of the bank. And because that was important, because we're trying to see how we'd start from a completely blank space, go to entrepreneurs, say, okay, what are your pain points? What don't you like about the bank? Come back, develop, go back to them again and say, would this work? And if they say yes, no, come back again, as opposed to the bank developing and throwing it to the entrepreneurs and hoping that it's something that, you know, they'll like. So we use things like design thinking, we use lean innovation to try and see how we better, you know, get to a solution that we know is something that the entrepreneurs want, not necessarily what Standard Bank wants.
That is very interesting. Like, I mean, if I had a proper business with an accountant, I would definitely consider that. And I mean, it brings me to my other question. Can any business use Edge?
Any business can use Edge as long as you have an accountant. And if you don't have one, we'll find one for you.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So we don't say because your revenue is zero, we can't help you.
Turnover has to be. Oh, okay. All right. That's interesting. I may be coming to you guys soon.
No, we recognize that it might be zero now, but, you know, it could be 10 million soon.
And I guess it's, people are serious about their business and managing their business finances, you know, this would be a suitable solution for them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how much efficient will the Edge service be when it's compared to, how efficient is it compared to normal banking?
So in terms of the one point of contact, our ratios work out much better than the the normal bank. So our service is actually very personalized. So it will be more efficient because we will have that person that's allocated to you, and they will not hand you over. They will see you through. They will see the request through from personal, from business, from trust. That person will navigate the bank on your behalf. And also the availability 24/7, something that I think is not offered in the rest of the banking channels. And we have had customers testing us on that, calling us at 3 a.m. in the morning just to make sure somebody will pick up. So in terms of availability and access, I think it's definitely more efficient than the rest of the banking model. And we hope that it will, you know, the Edge the edge way of doing things will, in time, filter into the rest of the bank.
So how can people access the edge services?
We've got a website, www.edgebanking.co.za. There's a number that I don't know if I can leave it with you.
Please.
There's an email as well. that's how you can contact the team.
Okay, so you can leave the details with us, okay. And then we'll just post it on our social media. And that is for entrepreneurs who are looking for best accounting solutions. Edge, I believe, is a solution for you. TK, do you want to say anything?
Well, I think this is a groundbreaking initiative or edge because now, as I alluded to earlier on, now you start to have this dynamic where the entrepreneur is able to then come to the bank and get exactly what they need. And I think entrepreneurs should really look into getting on board and taking their businesses to the next level. And I mean, as Zim was saying, anyone is welcome to join, and if you don't have an accountant, they'll find one for you. But if you do have an accountant, then that's great. You just get on and just keep your business moving.
Wow, thank you so much. Standard Bank is bringing you Edge. I believe it was launched today.
Yes.
How was the launch?
Wonderful.
Awesome.
We're
awesome,
very excited.
Awesome. No. Our community of entrepreneurs will also get to know more about Edge. That was Zim Kitaza, two head of Edge at Standard Bank, and my co-host that I threw under the bus, Thando Kwazi Qabashe. Thank you so much, guys, for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
So if you want to know more about your customers and speak to them when it matters, you need TouchBase Pro. Here at Cliff Central, we experience this firsthand as we use them for our daily newsletter, which is the only place to get popular weekly conundrum every Friday. Turn indifferent customers into customers who can't wait to engage with your brand by collecting meaningful insights and valuable info on what interests them, so you can get target individuals and create new strategies. TouchBase Pro can also help with setting up effective email campaigns to maximize sales and mend the love lost between sales and marketing. And at the end of each month, you will have meaningful reports to show your team, taking the guesswork out of email marketing stats. Get to emailwins.co.za now for a chance to receive a mini strategic assessment, plus an email campaign to 25,000 customers. With the TouchBase Pro Account Manager, you will send emails your customers cannot ignore. Go to emailwins.co.za. If you change nothing, nothing changes.
360 Biz on cliffcentral.com.
So the second part of our interview today, we are talking Opportunity Wednesday. So we're talking about entrepreneurs who grabbed opportunities, who broke doors, who kicked those doors that were locked in front of them. So most people believe that entrepreneurs in less developed economies, such as those in Africa, only start their own businesses because they have no other options and are desperate to earn a living for themselves and their families. Entrepreneurial opportunities of all types exist in every part of the world, and while opportunities may be diverse in different economic contexts, there are ambitious entrepreneurs everywhere with the aspiration to pursue them. What I love about entrepreneurs, especially in Africa, is that they have learned to turn challenges into solutions and solutions into opportunities, ultimately making themselves money. It has become more of creating opportunities for yourselves and your community in order to make something out of your life and your business. And entrepreneurs today are breaking barriers and kicking those doors. Examples of these are my brothers, Bulelani Balabala, Tebogo Mafodi, people like DJ Zbu. They have broken those doors. And I'm so happy today in studio to be talking to two entrepreneurs, business people that have grown into the business and industries that have seen as tough industries but have made it. So welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you. How are you doing?
I'm very good. Yeah. So I have Chef Melusi Twala with me, who's the founder of the Mood Pop-Up and Sky Rooftop Restaurant.
The Mood Food Truck and Pop-Up Restaurant. The Sky Rooftop, we do it on a Saturday. We do our stalls.
Awesome. We'll talk about that. And we've got Leroy Joyce, who is the general manager at Cool Ideas.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah, how are you guys?
Yeah, well, and yourself?
I'm good, I'm good. TK is still with me. Tandokwazi is still with me.
Yes, I'm still here.
So, Melusi, you guys do African cuisine.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Tell me more about your business.
The Mood Food Truck is inspired by the different cultures and environments we cater for graveyard lunch. It's a 5-star restaurant which is going to be going around doing lunch, dinner and graveyard. So basically the name of the mood is inspired by the environment, especially if you look at your the 2nd July is about to happen. So the name Mood, so we know that we're going to be specializing with curries. If we go to townships, specialize in mkhodus, and then if you go to the burbs, we specialize in gourmet beef burgers and burro straws. So we've actually the business, when I started it, it's something that came up a long time ago, I think in 2009, but I wasn't matured in the industry so much, but I got the chance to work at the Serengeti Boutique Fine Dining. So my experience kind of escalated. So I got to get more experience, because I was going to be like the mamas at the township selling pap, coleslaw and beetroot. So I've learned more about systems, costing, and how to upgrade our own food industry in the street market. And for me, it's very versatile, you understand? Because in most cases, what I've realized, what we cater for also is your... Vertis. I'm looking at catering for Vertis, your UJs, your Varsities. Because the main idea, if you look at it in the long run, we're looking at our future leaders, your doctors, lawyers, and all that stuff. They're going to be dining into restaurants. But no one is actually going in the institution. They're only being served KFC, McDonald's. So the Mood Food Truck is inspired also to grow your palate in order for you, by the time you graduate, when you're having your meetings after graduating, you know what is a roulade, you know, a bouillabaisse, and all these terms. Roulade is like a roll, and you make a nice fuss out of a chicken, and then it doesn't matter. Normally they use a chicken to make a fuss, and then you roll it in nicely. You can put whatever any variation that you prefer. It's just to the Mood Food Truck is just to expose people and African food, and then the pop-up restaurant, what we actually specialize in is I've traveled overseas. What I've realized, there's a lot of people overseas, they don't know about our own cuisine because it's never been seen as a dining. So the pop-up restaurant, what we normally do is we serve it at the first 11 course. We're going to be launching on the 29th, but throughout the whole year we've been doing the pop-up restaurant. So the 11 course is inspired also by your Xhosa, Venda, Tsonga. So in that 11 course, we're going through our own African cuisine, but tasting, but small little portion, so that people can understand that we are there. Because you go, there's no semp, there's no pap, there's no some form of, even mkhodu, you know. And I say this in the greatest of respect, like a lot of white people never took the chance to learn our food, but the pop-up restaurant, what it does, it's bringing in a rebel nation. If you can eat my food and I can eat your food, so we can actually sit at the table and have a chat, and food brings people together.
Your passion. I get very passionate. Like, we need a whole hour for you, just for you, for you.
There's so many things, you know. Like, you know, also, in terms of business, when I started, I never knew that I wanted to be an entrepreneur or something, to be a chef. What happened is, God is great. What happened is that absolutely. So one of my friend's mom told me, I don't know how much Tarzan was so famous. So I took a kitchen curtain and swung and fell into a big pot of pumpkin.
Wow.
With flavors in there. So I don't know.
Wow.
Yeah, so God had already planned that He wants me to be the chef, but I never knew. So I came across it when I went to the college, and I just took it to another level. You know, I went out there. I've worked with the best chefs in the country, like Chef David Higgs. I've won competitions, like the second. I became the second junior chef of the year, Unilever. I've been in the top Global Pizza Challenge top 5. I became third for the Play to Win. I was also there at the age of 23. The highlight of my career is when I met Jenny Morris when I was a head chef at Lekgotla African Cuisine. So I launched a book with Jenny Morris.
We'll get to that. We will get to that.
Sorry.
Leroy, let me just talk to Leroy.
I get too excited.
You do. And it's okay.
Yeah, the passion. Yeah.
It's there.
Leroy, tell us about Cool Ideas. Tell us about your business.
Yeah, so Cool Ideas is a fiber to the home and fiber to the business ISP. We basically provide high-speed internet wherever there is fiber coverage. We're live on 23 different networks, going on 24 different networks. Mm. These are open access networks, so it means that there's multiple ISPs that can take part in providing internet connectivity on a Vumatel or Octatel, Frogfoot. The list goes on. We're live on 23 of those. We're number one in about 4 or 5 of those at the moment.
And how did you enter this industry? Because I know it's probably very technical.
Yes.
How did you get into it?
So, look, Cool Ideas started out as a data backup company back in 2010. And then by founders Paul Bucci and Andre Uster. They then saw the need for connectivity in a suburb called Parkhurst, where they created their own point-to-point network for Wi-Fi. And then, you know, a few years later, Vumatel came in and decided that Parkhurst was going to be the pilot suburb for rolling out of Vumatel, fiber into the ground. They offered an open access network, so we got into that, moving away from the IT support and data backup stuff, seeing this more lucrative and there's more of a need for connectivity in these areas.
Mm. Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Mm. So, you know, with connectivity,
yes.
I know there are certain areas that where you can't connect,
yes.
You know, and there's certain options that you can get in terms of, if I live in a township, maybe, I don't know, and you can correct me, maybe fiber optic would not be a solution for me. How do you define the reach, and where are you guys based?
So we're very much reliant on where the fiber line providers decide to go. They obviously haven't tapped into the likes of any townships at the moment, but there are talks of extending this reach. It's beneficial to the public. There are various solutions. You know, alternatives
for people in the township.
In the townships, you have your LTE options.
Are those best solutions? Because I feel that in a township area, you are more likely not to get fast efficient. I mean, I live in Pretoria,
sure,
and we have 20 Wi-Fi. Mm. It's terrible.
Yeah,
it's terrible. It's terrible. It's terrible. And when you do connect, it's slow.
Yeah,
you
know, and very intermittent.
So, and I want to know that what are the best solutions for people, let's say entrepreneurs that are operating businesses within the township, because we don't live in your Parkhurst, you don't live in your Sandown, what are the best solutions for entrepreneurs in the townships?
At this point in time, I would say the LTE solutions are the best solutions, but there are plans to roll out fiber to areas, township areas, and sort of low, your areas that you, as you say, Parkhurst was focused on by these big corporations. I think what they're seeing now is the value to reaching more people as they grow. And that is the people in the townships and the less income areas. They're finding it is important because a lot of your entrepreneurs are coming from these areas. They're very passionate. And even the school children who require access to internet for projects and that, it is a big concern for these companies. And they are starting to become more passionate about that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, your last point is a very good point because, and to Tsekho's earlier point on the slowness of the connectivity.
Yes.
I mean, when these things were thought of, it was to assist school children, unemployed youth, to sort of beef up their CVs and try to find employment. But in your predictions, how soon would that be? When you say there are talks, can you at least give us an indication of where the talks are?
So if you look at about 4 years ago when the first fiber to the home connection started, we could never have imagined how fast it would have rolled out or how it spread like wildfire to this point where it is now and how many homes are passed. So if you had asked me this about 2 to 3 years ago, I'd say to you, I don't have a definitive answer. Yeah. But I could say, you know, in the next max two years, you'd probably see this being rolled out into those areas that you would never have thought they would ever go to. It's more of a concern for these business leaders now than it ever has been.
So what kind of investment is involved in rolling out to these, well, I'd say outskirts or townships? What kind of investment is involved? Is it a thing that entrepreneurs or well-established businessmen with the muscle, the financial muscle, or is it a relationship with government as well? What needs to happen for these things to be?
I think it could happen on both parts. I think if government realized how beneficial it would be, they could move and come to the party a lot sooner. But at this point in time, it is your businessmen with the financial muscle that would be able to fund this a lot quicker. Obviously, there's various bureaucracies that they go through in order for government to roll these things out. Where it comes to the independent man with money, they could roll out a lot quicker.
Yeah,
that's just from the FNO point of view. From an ISP point of view, either entity could roll out, and if they're offered it as open access, we would jump on that.
No, I'm glad that companies like Cool Ideas have found those opportunities where you can drive internet connectivity. Or, you know, I wouldn't know the language that you guys speak.
No, sure.
But then for businesses, it's so important to get, I mean, connectivity is something that we are living now. Data, we're living by data.
Yes.
You know, so I'll come back to Cool Ideas. Melusi, my favorite person.
Because of the food?
No. And I love the fact that we've got food today.
Yeah. That's how I do things. You know, our lunch chocolates. The crew, I brought the chicken curry and the mkhodu that went to your private school.
No, I'll send you our office address. You can deliver anytime.
Yeah, not a problem.
Anytime. Yeah. So you've worked with various 5-star restaurants.
Yes.
And you've worked with the likes of, I mentioned Chef Benny Masokoming because I love him so much and I followed his MasterChef journey. Yeah. Where did you find your passion for food, apart from your pumpkin pot story?
Actually, what happened is I was still at college here in South Africa because I also went abroad to go study. So what happened is that I met Chef Paliseng Modungwa. So when I went to the college, I wasn't even keen in cooking because, you know, when you come from a township, you're not very excited. It's like, you're pega. Come on, man. You can't be cooking. Frying an egg isn't easy, man. You can't do. So, Paliseng Modungwa, actually, he's the one who is like, no, dude, I remember the first info chef that we went to was 2006. So, as we went to the info chef, it was a white lady. As we walked into the receptionist with Paliseng, Tumi Mulosi, Mululeki, not Mululeki, Tumi Mulosi, Manskap, and Heywood Nare. So as we walked in, that's where I found my true passion. Have you ever felt like you walk in a place and see that this is where I belong? So what happened is that there was a black lady, and an Indian lady, and a white lady. So as I was greeting all of them, I was like, hey, how are you? How are you doing? And all that. I haven't faced, I haven't faced the back. So it's where all the chefs and the food are at. So what really happened? So as I was greeting the black, it's like, "Unjani mama siyaphila." It's like, "Yo, mntana mwazi wangibulisa kamnandi kanje. Ubuya kuphi ekhaya?" I was like, mina ngibuya la eSoweto. And she was like, no, mntana. I was like, oh, where I originate. So I explained to her and that I'm from Freedom Free State. And I asked her, it's like, what's happening here? It's like, so what's going to happen? So while I couldn't stop the smell of a good croissant from the backside, you know, good coffee, and it's a buffet and everything. So I turned around, I was like, is this all for us? She's like, yeah. I was like, yo, the mom's so serious. She's like, yeah, don't worry, just sit down. What you need to do is just fill in the forms and you go through everything. So she told me, you're going to get breakfast, lunch, and then I was like, breakfast, lunch, and no, cocktail, actually. I was like, shit, that's a lot for, because, and it was 2006. So not for 95 rand, imagine how much it wasn't that lot, you know, to have a breakfast and a lunch and a cocktail. So I filled in the forms, went in. As soon as I turned around, yo, there was this big buff guys, you know, chefs with medals, colors and everything. And imagine now how skinny I am. at that age, I was around 19 there, so I was very skinny. So I'm looking at all these guys. So I have to pass through to get to the other side of the gold, which is the buffet. I just wanted to taste the breakfast and have all that. So, yeah, I ended up passing by everyone. And I don't know, there's this thing, you know, that I love about Zulu people. Zulu people are direct. So as I was walking past everyone, I was like, sorry. You understand? Mm. Zulu person would be like, you've been seeing me, you understand? Mm. So, yeah, that's where I got all my inspiration. The 2006 Info Chef, and then I started in 2008. That's where I went for my competition.
And I think a question for both, to both of you, Leroy and Melusi, is that was there ever an in your business journeys, you know, was there ever a time where you had to create an opportunity for yourself?
Yes, I've created a lot of opportunities. The first time I was, the first job that I got as a at the age of 23, you don't get that a title as a head chef. I never knew much. I never knew anything. So I became the head chef of the Lekgotla 400-seater, and I wasn't exposed. But my GM told me, "Don't worry, I'll guide you and teach you about everything." So while I was running the whole hotel, so my life was based there. So we spend enormous time in a restaurant. We spend 12 hours to 16 hours. We rest. We don't have a life, actually. So the only life, it's your family and your cooking and the close friends that you have. You don't really have a lot of friends. So what I did, I was running out of ideas because of overworking myself, you understand? So what I did, I went to who's the South African Chefs Association now, James Cause. He was just across. So I used to read a lot about chefing and all that. So I went to him just for advice. So he became my mentor, my coach, and started directing me to the right people, you know, understand. So I started meeting like the best chefs, like Siyabulela Gobo, who was part of the team of SA, went to the Olympics, Kelvin Jowell, and he also the Benny Masekweng. I met who's this Sia through Benny Masekweng, because they had a group at what it's called at Punchinellos in Four Ways. It's called the Chef of Distinction. So they do it every month. So that's where I met Benny Masekweng, cooking with Benny Masekweng. So I started meeting all these great chefs because what I did, I sacrificed myself in doing two jobs. So whatever that I did, I used to work at the Saxon. As soon as I knock off at Lekgotla, I would go to the Saxon, or I would go to Punchinello's just to get more experience. So nothing was given. I just went out there to just grab the opportunity. So
Leroy?
Yeah, if you look at my history with Cool Ideas, I was employee number four. So the other three employees were the directors and the founding members. I started as the road tech who would go and do the installs, you know, on a day-to-day basis, running around. I had to take opportunities. I had to make opportunities for myself. I believe immersing myself into my day-to-day tasks and sacrificing my after-hour time really was my step to taking my opportunity to then being promoted to the division manager and then thereafter to general manager of operations at Cool Ideas. It was a lot of time, effort, but there was definitely a lot of moves I made to make sure that I took the opportunities that were there. And if they weren't there, try to make those opportunities.
Yeah. So I'm running out of time, but I just want you guys to just give advice to someone who, Melusi, an upcoming chef who probably has no hope or no information. They don't have experience of traveling abroad and, you know, getting to meet the likes of the professional chefs that you've met. What advice would you give to this person?
I would like to give advice in regards of a chef patron and also an entrepreneur. As a chef, I think you need to dedicate yourself. You understand? When I came into this industry, they told me the first thing, you need to forget about your friends. And I never understood until I was in there. And then secondly, it's work ethic, having the right attitude. You need to have the right attitude as yourself. Don't be grumpy because someone is telling you something that you need. At the end of the day, the universe doesn't care about you. If you don't look after yourself, it won't look after you. So it's work ethic, attitude, and grab the opportunities out there. And don't go for in terms of business, don't go for being the biggest, go for being the best. You understand? Because it becomes so easier as a, yeah, buzz, as a human being. So, yeah. In terms of entrepreneur, I've had some serious breakdown. I'm still having a bit of financial problems in terms of equipment, buying a few things. But can I just share this story? Just a little story. What happened? And that's the thing which inspired me into going into entrepreneur. You remember when Snoop Dogg was supposed to come into the country and perform at Ellis Park? And then they sent him back because he had Kush. So, yeah.
Like
so, we were there, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
It was four of us. It was, again, Haywood, Khumulemo, and I don't remember the dead guy. I'm sorry. But there were four of us. So, what happened is that we calculated the cost, the profit, before doing the actual costing. And we're like, okay, you're going to take out 250, you're going to take out 250, you're going to take out 250, and you're going to take out 250. So it's 1,000. We buy 400 rolls, we sell them for 10 rand, it's 4,000. You understand? Guess what on that day? We made 1,100 for not doing the costing as we were counting after the whole event. And then we looked at that 100 rand, it was a fake note. So, you know, you need to be very inquisitive. You need to be very precise in whatever that you do in business. You need to put your heart out when you're doing business. So, yeah, I've learned a lot. And that was like in 2008 before I started getting into business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like we need an hour for you.
Yeah.
We have to bring you back.
Please. So I'm ready.
Leroy, your advice?
My advice is learn, and learn some more. There's not enough you can know about your trade, and the more you know, the more confident you are. And take chances, man. You never know what opportunity might come your way. But never give up hope. Always know your trade, take those chances, and reach for the stars.
TK, do you have advice?
Well, I don't know if it's advice, but I just wanted to pick up on what Melissa was saying. I mean, and some of what Leroy just said, every time, you know, and I always say this, every time a professor graduates and gets to speak about his journey or her journey into how she studied, they always tell you that I've just realized that I know so little, I need more. You know,
absolutely.
So I think, so the brain is just is just that it just needs feeding and you just need to keep reading.
You never stop learning,
and also never stop learning. Also, reach out to people whom you admire. And these days it's so easy because you have them on Instagram, on social media. Just pop them a message and say, look, dude, I like what you're doing. Can I get 5 minutes of your time? And don't stop. Keep knocking. One day the door will fall.
Melusi, you've got food for us today. Quickly tell us, what do you have? What are we having for lunch?
I made the malamukhodu that went to a private school. The reason why I call it that, the malamukhodu that
went to a private school. Okay.
It's the procedure. The thing is, the how we cook it, you know, normally just mukhodu, they just boil it and then
in the smell.
So what I've done, I've actually cooked it in water, added a bit of onion, bay leaves, rosemary, garlic, so I can kill the smell. And then obviously I'll get their stock. So after getting their stock, I took out the mukhodu, put it on the side, cut it into nice strips, made a nice stewy onion, you know, red pepper, robot, you know, and then braised it nicely with a bit of red wine vinegar, red wine, and a bit of stock, and let it reduce and simmer quickly so that the flavors can infuse inside. And it goes with the beetroot samp. Beetroot samp, meaning it's a one dish. Beetroot samp, and then it's got pickled butternut puree, pumpkin seeds, everything that we make. And even in the food truck, as soon as we launch it, it's everything's going to be made from scratch. And then the second dish, I made a pineapple chutney with curry, chicken curry. So pineapple chutney was also made from scratch. It served with the raita, papadoms, tomato red onion salsa, and itombo luchetre. So, unfortunately, that's how I serve it. I didn't bring itombo.
But
I brought rice. I owe you. sorry about that, but definitely.
No, you owe me.
The flavor is you're going to love. At the end of the day, it's all about understanding the concept, where we're going, you know, because I feel that if you put your heart into it,
people understand where you're going. You understand what I mean?
Thank you. Wow. So as we wrap up, I need you guys to give us contact details. Where can people get hold of you? Where can people get to your restaurant? Give us contact details in 30 seconds.
Okay, so with Cool Ideas, it's CISP.co.za, which stands for Cool Ideas Service Provider. You can get us hold of us on the social medias. So Twitter is CoolIdeas_ZA, Instagram is CoolIdeas_Fiber, and then Facebook is Cool Ideas Service Provider.
Awesome.
You can catch us at the Sky Rooftop Market, where we on Saturdays, every Saturday, we be doing artistic music, live band, spoken words. So that's different
every
kind
Saturday.
Of every Saturday. It starts from 10 till late. But you you can contact me on 062.
Where is Sky Rooftop Bar?
At Maboneng, 92 Decades, Fox Street. Sorry about that. And then it's 062. My number is 887-8977. And then my email address, if you need any help in terms of, because what we normally do, we recruit people who still want to learn about cooking. So that's why how we're giving back. So that's why I'm giving out the information.
So can husbands also come through? Because
you know,
there's
an opportunity.
I have 1 minute.
Okay. So what we normally do is try and what we're working on is getting couples, it doesn't matter if you're gay or married, but just couples, and then teach them how to cook homey meal. Because nowadays, nice. You know, a lot of women, no offense, I say this in the greatest of respect, you guys don't know how to cook. So, you know, it would be
thank
fun.
You, thank
you, Mama.
That is offensive, actually. There goes your whole interview, my man.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I've seen a lot of people who don't. So it just brings in a good environment. You and in between the relationship and also learning how to cook. So, yeah, you can catch me at gibson.twala3@gmail.com. It's a double B, Gibson. Twala, no H, D, W-A-L-A, 3@gmail.com.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. So. That brings us to the end of our show. Thank you so much for joining. Yeah. Thank you so much to my guest, my special guest. We are out.
Thank you for inviting
us. Out. Thank you so much. We'll see you next week in another edition of 360 Biz.
This is CliffCentral.com.